Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio if you're listening on audio. Guys, thanks for watching our stuff. If you enjoy what you are seeing, then please hit the like button. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And you can click the notification bell to stay up to date with everything that we have coming out. Today, we have with us Scott Mendelson. Scott, you've been in fitness now, the fitness world, for how long? How many years? Because I feel like you're an old school guy.
21 years from a professional level. I started InfinityFitness.com from my college dorm room in 1999.
So he's been around for a while. Yep. He's he works with and is good friends with Dr. Eric Serrano, who we're like just two steps removed. You're almost like, so I really like John Meadows a lot. We just had him on the show. I'd consider him to be a good friend of the show. My partner, Victoria Felkar, of course, Eric is her mentor. I feel like that you and I are almost related. You're like a second cousin that I've never met, that I've never met before. So nice to meet you today, man.
Good to meet you.
So tell me, first of all, first I want to tell you guys, we are, what would you say, how would you sum up what we are planning on talking about? And before we get about to that, though, I do want to talk to you about who you are and what your background is. But what would you say our topic is today?
Innovative training and nutrition techniques to maximize muscle growth.
Okay. And this is something that you had talked about, I know, and multiple times you've given talks about this. One of the notable ones was at the Arnold Classic last year, correct?
The Arnold Classic talk was macronutrient cycling protocols for gaining muscle and losing body fat. So that was a nutrition-focused talk, yes, at the Arnold Classic. I'll be speaking at the same event this year, which takes place on Friday and Saturday of the Arnold. And if anybody's interested in that, email me and I'll get you the direction to sign up. Dr. Serrano is also speaking.
Oh,
he's
nice.
A great speaker. Rick Collins is speaking. And they do a good job getting a good lineup of speakers. I don't remember all off the top of my head, but I can get that information out. But yeah, that one was really well received from the audience and a lot of people following up with questions. And I have that presentation if people want the slides and also the whole video of it. It was probably about an hour long, and I don't know if I have it all on YouTube, but I'll put it on there and I can send people the link. It was a really good talk. People really liked it.
Okay, and I know that I saw part of it on YouTube. I will be sure to put a link to that in the show notes.
Cool.
If you have any information for me about signing up for any of these talks to hear you, Eric, guys like Rick, I want to get Rick Collins on. I've been meaning to get him on. He's such a cool dude, and he's such a storyteller. But you guys can have the opportunity to hear people, you know, like these guys, like Scott Mendelson. If you can get me any of that information, I'll have that in the description below as well. But first of all, tell me about yourself, man. What's your background here in fitness, and how did you hook up with a guy like Eric Serrano?
I started out as a failed college football player, meaning I had big aspirations, didn't work out. I got injured because of a very bad strength coach, and I had developed a back injury. I was a long snapper, and I was pretty good at that skill, but I was out of my league in terms of physical gifts compared to the other guys there. I was in the Big Ten at Indiana, but I learned a lot from that situation. That built a lot of drive for me wanting to learn everything I could about training and nutrition so I might be able to help somebody else in my situation down the road avoid the same problems. So I deal with a lot of professional athletes, more football than any other sport, college and pro. And I work with a wide group of, I would call them, you know, everyday business professionals, male and female, probably trending over age 35, and probably, you know, the older ones probably in their 60s, but most between, you know, 55. So 35 and 55 seems to be my sweet spot, where I'm working with clients on supplement protocols, personalized training, personalized nutrition. And I am fortunate that I get to learn a lot from Eric. And you asked how I met him. I met him right about the time my college career ended, as I was starting to seek out really smart people. And I saw him speak in Chicago in 1999. I approached him, and we started to get along. I was still in school at that time, and I would visit him in Columbus. And then I moved to Columbus after I graduated from college, and we've been working together ever since. He designs supplements. I get them manufactured, and we sell them all over the world. We have a very big following for those scientifically engineered formulas. And it's really interesting in that Eric actually does real experiments in the office where he will take a group of patients, have them do certain things with supplementation or nutrition or training and follow their results, look at their blood work. And he comes to a lot of very interesting conclusions where in many cases he gets some ideas from the literature. I mean, he's reading like 30 research journals a month.
Oh my God.
He can retain information very quickly.
Yeah.
In reading that faster than I can for sure. But a lot of his patients, he'll tell them, come to me for training and nutrition. He'll give me some parameters. So I'm building protocols for those people. So we're back and forth by email and we're training together on a good week twice. But we have streaks where he's out of town, I'm out of town. But he is very, very smart. So if you are going to the Arnold and you get the opportunity, you definitely want to see him speak. I think he's talking about some injury prevention stuff with training.
Okay.
He also spoke at the Soarnex Summer Strong 12 back in May in South Carolina, and there was about 600 strength coaches, and I've never seen so many people so focused on one speaker and different things he was doing with bands, talking about injuries and so forth. So very good speaker. I have a video of that too, I think, so I'll send that along to you as well.
That's cool. And he's an entertaining guy to listen to when he's talking. He's a character for sure. Yeah. He's good.
Very good speaker, very approachable, very generous with his time. He mentors a lot of people.
That's cool.
And that shows you something about someone's expertise when all these people gravitate towards him in terms of, kind of a mentorship relationship. He doesn't seek those out. They just good people kind of gravitate to him.
Right on. You guys have some great products too, by the way. For anybody who's not familiar, EZ14, your digestive enzyme, I've used that with great success. It's a great product. It's one of my top two favorite digestive enzymes that I have used personally. Great. So solid product.
That one has an interesting story behind it because it wasn't like Eric woke up one day and said, oh, I want to market a digestive enzyme.
Yeah.
He started to see in his practice more and more problems with food allergies, irritations, and intolerances. So some people inherently don't respond well to certain foods.
Sure.
And that's, could range from something pretty mild to anaphylactic shock if somebody's consuming peanuts and they're allergic. That's an extreme example.
Yeah.
But what we found is, and what Dr. Serrano has found with a lot of blood testing, is that people can eat the same foods over and over again and develop problems.
Oh, no question. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it with people I've worked with. Egg whites, I think, have been a huge one for me and others.
Yeah, whey protein, casein protein, those are very common ones. So to make a long story short, eating the same things all the time is going to create problems, especially as you get over 30. And one of the things that we found is when somebody's in that situation, oftentimes a bodybuilder, they have depleted amounts of digestive enzymes.
Okay.
And they can't get back to normal. So the EZ14 replenishes what has been lost and also provides other enzymes the body cannot make. And the story was, he was trying all kinds of different ingredients and like screaming at me, I need this, I need this. And I know I had to source all kinds of stuff. It was very difficult.
Huh.
But he finally arrived at what he wanted based on, the patient's success. And the EZ14 is really one for a lot of people they can't go without because it makes them feel so much better following meals. They no longer have the problems with bloating and low energy and joint pain and all kinds of other things. They're actually be able to improve their body comp much more efficiently. So that one was when I was surprised how well it worked because initially I was like, well, why are we pursuing that? But after he explained the importance, it's really been effective for people now. For about 3 years it's been available.
That's cool. And I think there's probably a lot of people that are listening or watching this right now that are scratching their head thinking, eating the same thing day in, day out. I think like everybody who's involved in fitness, everybody who's watching this right now, everybody who's on a fixed plan is doing that.
Yep.
It's scary, man. It's scary to see, just the issues that can arise.
Yep.
You think to yourself like, no, I don't have any food allergies, but 5 years down the road, 3 years down the road, you might.
We see it for people once they're starting to get, again, 30, 35, just their, you know, naturally their digestive enzyme levels decrease, has something to do with the aging process. So that's something that he and I focus on with clients, is we get a lot of them pretty pissed off in the early stages because we say, you can't eat that, that, and that because you've abused it. And they're like, what? You know, it's like removing a comfort level for a lot of people. But when we introduce new foods, people discover, oh, I like this. I never would have tried that.
Yeah.
And we have a constant cycling of foods and people really enjoy it. But initially, some of them kind of push back, but we explain the importance and get a good outcome.
Yeah, right on. So let's shift focus here. Let's turn to the topic at hand, which I think growing muscle is something that all of us, whether, you know, we're competitive, whether we're just recreational bodybuilders, I mean, really, this is foundationally, this is the goal, right? Is to grow muscle. Yep. And where do we start, Scott?
One of the interesting things that Dr. Serrano came up with recently, let's say 6 months ago, is called cluster six pause. So it's a sequence where a set is going to last anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes. Okay. And let's take for an example, if we're doing a cluster six pause with 8 parts to it, meaning you do one rep and you pause for 6 seconds. And that could be resting. That could have the dumbbells in a paused position that's very hard on the bottom or the top of a movement. Hmm. And then you do 2 reps, rest again, 6 seconds, 3 reps, rest again, 6 seconds, 4 reps, rest again, 6 seconds, all the way up till 8. And some of the articles that I sent over to Scott, there's 3 different articles we have with videos and full routines that demonstrate all this. So don't worry about the whole pattern. But it is really hard. And it ends up being, if you do 8 parts, 36 reps. And the question you get is, well, why not just do 36 reps? It's because the cluster six allows you to use a much heavier load for those entire 36 reps. And when people try it, they're like, holy smokes, this is really difficult. Now, one of the benefits is you don't have to do a lot of work sets to get a great benefit. And that's one of the things that Dr. Serrano kind of has to fight against with a lot of patients. They're overtraining and they don't think it's overtraining. He does. He looks at the blood. He looks at the situation. So he's always trying to find ways with, let's call them, special execution, certain exercises, other patterns, to raise the intensity and reduce the volume.
Man, that's this is exactly everything that the path that we've been going down. I think, you know, we have several different hosts here at Think Big and Advices, and every single one of them say what you're saying right now, that this is the goal. And I get it. I feel like years ago, you know, early in my training, I didn't have the ability to build the intensity it took to be able to get everything I needed to out of, you know, just a couple of sets. Thus, in order to grow up, my answer was, well, if I want to get bigger, apparently I need to do more sets, right? So 12 turns into 16, turns into 20. And, you know, eventually you figure that out. So what it sounds like you're telling me is this cluster six is a way that you can kind of hack that instead of basically a way that you can build that intensity, almost like the same way that doing, say, like a rest pause set would be a way that you could kind of increase that intensity real quick.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned something that's interesting. When you started out, you gradually built up the volume to grow, but now your training age is much different. So as you train for a longer period of time, your nervous system becomes more mature and the loading becomes more important to grow. Huh. That's something you're not going to read in a magazine where they put out these generic routines with, like, you know,
this is Branch Warren's latest workout or whatever.
Or, you know, whatever the latest Avenger is, right?
Oh, yeah,
this is his workout.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, that one's really annoying, you know. It's like, well, whether or not they're really doing those routines, who knows? It's a whole different story.
Right.
But people, one of the difficult things that I have with working from a client from a distance is what my definition of intensity is and what their definition of intensity is can vary quite widely.
Oh, yeah.
And many people don't know what they're truly capable of until they're willing to push their limits safely. So I don't advise people to do reckless things and use poor form. But very oftentimes when I get to meet a client and I work out with them, you know, and I'd say, you can keep going. And they kind of surprise themselves. They got a couple more reps in the tank with good form. And they're like, you know, if you had not pushed me to do that or pushed me to try a weight load that was higher, I never would have tried it, just because I think a lot of it is subconsciously people just are maybe afraid of failing. They're afraid of pushing themselves hard. They're afraid of discomfort. But getting over those barriers with the right strategies is really one of the things that differentiates the ability for people to go from what I think is above average to great in terms of condition, right? You know, there's a lot of people that train. Not all of them earn great results.
Sure.
It's a matter of using the right strategies and applying the intensity. But the cluster six, we start with a cluster. We can go a reverse cluster. We can do some special treatments like ischemic stuff. We'll be producing, you know, more videos and releasing articles,
nice.
You know, on the website. We send out a monthly email newsletter, which is such a pain in my ass to do. People have no idea how much time with the editing. Maybe you do. I mean, with the editing and writing the articles. But we have a new training and nutrition article every month where the information is actually very useful. That's always the goal. Give somebody something they haven't done before. Yeah. Give them something that's new. And it takes a lot of work. But we're really proud of that in terms of the good info we're putting out for free. Right? Right? You know, it's all, you know, information out there. There's no membership fee, nothing like that. We have a lot of great videos. Play and real fast.
That's through Infinity Fitness?
InfinityFitness.com, right.
Okay.
And, that's the email newsletter goes out every month. And we'll have, you know, again, a training and nutrition feature, very detailed, very long. Not like the short, like, you know, 30-word article. We have a routine every time, like the cluster six pause. We've got an arm, a leg, and a torso routine. And people have really eaten those up all over. And really liked it. We've gotten great feedback on that. Perhaps better feedback on that series than anything we've ever done. And That's saying something, because we've been doing it like 21 years.
That's cool. Yeah, people love that kind of thing. I love that kind of thing. And I'll be honest, I'm always afraid to sign up for a newsletter because I feel like, oh, once you sign up, it's just going to be just junk. And, you know, here's our latest sale and that's it. But to have real content like that, that's freaking awesome.
One of the promises I've made to people is I will never send more than one email a month in terms of a newsletter because it would kill me. I don't have the time to do it. Two, I don't run sales. I never have. I don't think it's necessary because it's anyway, all I send out in the newsletter when you sign up is the newsletter. There's no promotions. There's no asking you for anything. There's no this or that sale or anything like that. It's one email a month. So that's all I have time for.
That's so cool. No, I figured I'd say that because that's kind of the vibe I got. And I'm thinking to myself, that's something. It sounds interesting, man. Anyway, I'm taking you off track here a little bit.
Well, in terms of cluster six, so the construction of is usually, you know, we would do one or two exercises perhaps for the posterior shoulder or the mid back to kind of fix a weakness and warm up the shoulders if we're doing upper body. And then we're looking at, after a warm up, probably two work sets per body part.
Okay.
So let's say that could be two sets for bicep, two sets for tricep, two sets for shoulder, for example. So you could have six work sets. And boom, you're toast. And the idea is you're getting so much stimulation for growth in terms of a multitude of muscle fibers, having a good impact in the hormonal environment. But you're able to get this particular training session done in, let's say, including warm-up, less than 40 minutes. There's some importance to that. One of the things that Dr. Serrano found is that the longer the workout goes, especially as you begin to approach an hour for a natural person, they're going to start to have some difficulties with the testosterone to cortisol ratio, where the stress hormones begin to climb, and then it begins to negate a lot of the work that you've done. So that's something that I have to almost really re-educate a lot of clients about, and saying shorter and more intense is better. And you ensure that you're not flirting with overtraining, and you still have to take care of proper fueling with your workouts and also recovery. And that's where a lot of the scientifically engineered supplementation, you know, comes in as well. You've got to look at the total picture to maximize your success.
Okay. Interesting. Now that sounds like something. So you said then too, that the explanation of the cluster set, you'll have that in it somewhere else. Can we link that or something?
Oh yeah, I've got full routines that lay out exactly how to do it in those three articles and videos demonstrating everything and the workout. So it's really, really complete. I mean, I've had a lot of people email me and say, I just adopted that workout for the last six weeks, and that's all I've done. You know, they had the arm workout, the torso, and the legs, and that's pretty much all you need. Maybe you, if you're trying to lose body fat, we have fat-burning interval routines people can use too, and afterburners is a whole different other topic. But, you know, we give you everything you need to have a really good training session, even if you're advanced, you know, too, because the stimuli is fresh. And, you know, that's another thing is, when I'm analyzing somebody's training, you know, our Dr. Sharonda does the same thing. It's like, well, how long have you been doing this? Like, oh, since, you know, 1987. I mean,
yeah.
There has to be a constant change with training, especially as you become more experienced, which I gather a lot of the, you know, listeners and viewers for this show are. So you got to think about that. How much innovation do you have in your training? Does it, you know, meet your needs? Are you providing the fresh stimuli that you need to grow? And in my opinion, there needs to be a complete overhaul of training approximately every 6 weeks.
That's, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Can you talk to me a little bit more about what you mean when you said that, you know, I think you said your central nervous system becomes more mature? Because I totally feel that, man. I know exactly what you're saying. And it's not something I've ever heard anybody talk about before.
So, you know, the nervous system, Louis Simmons said, he's famous for this quote, many quotes, I'm sure, muscles don't lift weights, nerves do. Okay. So the nervous system encompasses, you know, the brain and nerves that run throughout the body, right? Yeah. So there's nerves and muscles. There's nerves that people think about, they sense pain, but they're a large part of how the brain works, how the body works for your strength. And part of training is to have adaptation to load. And over time, the body becomes more efficient. So you need more loading in order to stimulate more muscle fibers, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think the nervous system also does have a governing impact on your ability to grow. So let's say this. If you had a muscle where for some reason the nerves died, and I don't remember what the condition is, the muscle would completely disappear. You know, you'd have complete atrophy. Okay. So there's a relationship between the muscle fibers themselves, the composition of the muscle, and also the nervous system. Hmm. But one of the things that I've observed doing training programs, and I've been doing this, I don't know how many training programs I've written. It's usually what I do on Saturday. Okay. It's got to be well over 10,000, I'm trying to think. I was one of the first people offering personalized training on the internet back in 1999. And by At that time, I don't think I was really good at it. I had the basics down. I've learned more and more about training, and my greatest laboratory of learning has been the success that I produced for clients and failures too, you know, what worked, what didn't, what worked for certain situations, is that over time, as people become more experienced, they need more weight load, but they need less volume. Mm. And again, I think it's just as you get stronger, you have to stimulate more fibers, have more weight load. You have to have fresh stimuli, you know, for example, 1 1/4 reps, right? So imagine like on a bench press, you go up a fourth of the way, down back to the chest, and all the way up. That's a 1 1/4 rep.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a different execution. It allows you to work on a weaker point, the lower part of the chest, where people typically weaker versus the lockout. Just an example of a special rep treatment. But it just goes to show you, even if you're a bodybuilder and you're not a powerlifter, you're not a strength athlete, you've got to use the proper loading progressively to gain more muscle. That I'm 100% sure of. Maybe some of the exceptions are somebody who's very ectomorphic. They're going to be more slow twitch, which they need a lot of time under tension. But still, even then, as they mature, they don't need necessarily a lot of sets to grow.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip Blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Interesting. So, you mentioned that one of the big mistakes that people make is that there's just too much volume and that they're, well, you made two points. A, that there's too much volume, and that B, people just do the same thing day in, day out. You know, as a coach, as somebody who's in fitness and has been for a long time, what are some of the other mistakes that you see people make?
Training frequency too often. I mean, one guy emailed me the other day. He owns a construction business, and he's like, "I want to train every day."
Yeah.
Why? My first question: why? What? Why? Well, I'm going to earn progress faster. So not necessarily. Yeah. So along with the workouts being too long and having too much volume, many people train too darn often.
Sure.
The objective is to train and then shift the focus to recovery and not train again until you're fully recovered. And as we think of the linear week of 7 days, a majority of people do very well with 3 weight training sessions, 1 core training session. Now, if they're trying to gain muscle as the top priority, I might have them do 1 or 2 other functional training sessions a week. That could be pushing a sled, lifting sandbags, doing things like that. That are aerobic in nature to a degree, or anaerobic in nature, but you can also mix some other conditioning in. And then if it's somebody trying to maximize body fat loss, I'll have them do at least 2 fat burning interval sessions per week, which are very difficult. And they may do some afterburners after that, which I could explain as well for fat burning. So weight training wise, 3 sessions per week in terms of maybe it's a split of torso one day, arms and shoulders another day and lower body another, is enough for a lot of people when they train correctly to grow, to lose body fat, to gain strength.
And even for a bodybuilder, somebody who is advanced and competitive?
So another thing, when I pointed out that your nervous system becomes more mature over time, I think when you need more loading, it very well could be for a lot of bodybuilders that they've got the recovery scenarios down to the point where they can train more often and benefit because they recover more quickly between sessions. So I think there are situations where they can train more frequently that takes more organization, I think, because again, you're not necessarily working on a linear week. You're one day on, one day off. So that can be. I also find in certain situations that training twice a day can be beneficial, but not for very long. If I have somebody who's prepping for something, we could do 2 weight training sessions in a day. There are some benefits to that for maybe 6 weeks before I would get away from that, but they'd have to have the recovery conditions really dialed in to benefit from that. So it is something I test with clients, what's the right training frequency. But if you're a serious bodybuilder and have the recovery down, you can train more often than that.
I know a lot of the people that listen to the programming, including myself, have gravitated toward push-pull legs for routine now. It used to be 10 years ago, we were all doing one body part a day, the five-day split type thing, chest one day, back the next, that type of thing. Now everybody it's gotten very, very popular to split it up. I think one of the issues that, a lot of us are seeing are that there's that inclination to want to do more. So, a lot of people are now, lowering the volume, but then doing 2 workouts a week, they end up training 6 times a week, possibly some of them just keep going, do 7 times a week. And I mean, obviously there comes a point where it's too much. Do you feel that you need like an actual day off of all weight training in order to recover? Like it's not just, you're not just talking, I guess, about just the muscle recovering itself. You're talking about the recovery of everything, huh?
Yeah. I mean, one saying is that the muscles don't fully recover until the nervous system doesn't fully recover until the muscles do. Okay. Yeah. So I do think that 1 or 2 days off completely per week is important for preventing overtraining and proper recovery. So on those days that you're not training, you could do some general stuff, walk around, do some flexibility stuff. I mean, I get all these questions about, should I be doing yoga and all this stuff? So let me break some hearts. fucking yoga is not going to help you grow. Okay.
This is true.
You know, it's like, my goodness. It's like, I don't know why. Look, personally, it's not my thing. Now, yeah. I do like stretching with bands and doing so in a strategic fashion. If you want to get more flexible, doing that right and assessing where you're tight.
Huh.
And then stretching in a way that addresses the tight structures is very productive.
Okay.
So to me, don't tell me, oh, well, yoga is my only option to gain flexibility. Not in my mind. I mean, I guess there's some benefit depending on what you want to do. But in actuality, there are methods for stretching, especially when you can get assessed. They're going to be much better for your recovery and muscle growth than yoga. I just don't like the whole shit. It's like being in the class and it's like a seance and, you know, people are wearing all this weird clothing and stuff like that, you know, and it's just not my thing, you know.
You're not a fan of incense, huh?
No, I don't like the whole thing. I don't get why it's so attractive to people. That's fine. Not everybody has to like what I like. But if you're telling me, especially from a lot of females, well, I want to lose body fat, so I'm going to go on a vegan diet and then I'm going to do yoga. And I said, well, that's going to put you several steps closer to death. Really? It's not going to help your body composition. And there's like, they're very dogmatic. Some of the yoga people, not all of them, don't start sending me hate mail. But with a lot of the vegan agenda and whatever, and it's wrong. It's dead wrong. You know, that's not going to improve your body comp. So point is, everybody needs to weight train. Not everybody needs to do the same things, but everybody needs to weight train, I think, to maximize their quality of life, to improve their daily performance for a lot of preventative reasons, and to optimize body composition. That I'm 100% sure of.
Okay. And so, and back to the three times per week. So that's what you would prescribe then to the vast majority of people, including to like you mentioned that you work with pro football players, to those guys as well?
No, I think they need to be a little bit more frequent. If they're in the off season, I think four times a week is best for them. And they're going to be doing a lot more power movements. They also, you know, depending on if they're with the team or on their own, they have to do a lot of running and other skills. In the case of a professional athlete, what their situation should be during the off season is work out, rest, do what you need to do to recover, and treat your body like in a very professional manner. You don't always get that. I think that when the NFL players negotiated out of their collective bargaining so they do not have to work out as much with the teams was a mistake. I think that some of the players do an excellent job taking care of themselves and find great strength coaches during the off. Other guys do not. They're working out with their cousin. They're missing workouts constantly, things like that. So point is, for a professional athlete who has a lot of time to rest and recuperate, they're probably more along the lines of four times a week our movements, and probably 2 days a week doing sprinting and other agility work, you know, on the field, if they take care of themselves.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. How would you go about, you know, back to, you know, a lot of our focus being physique type sports, how would you go about trying to help somebody that was dealing with a weak or a lagging body part? You know, because it sounds like overall, this is something where you'd start out applying, you know, a program like this across the board, and then there's going to be some areas that develop better than others. I guess, first of all, why is it? I'm sure there's a lot of reasons that a muscle can be weaker, but what are some of the reasons that you see, say, somebody has a lagging back or that their legs don't want to grow?
Genetics, injury, prior injuries that may have shut things down, poor training design in terms of their protocol. So for example, if somebody just overdeveloped certain muscles and underdeveloped others, and those underdeveloped muscles just don't engage properly because the other prime movers are so much stronger, that comes to mind. But injuries, there could be a lot of different levels to that. You know, did somebody experience some kind of injury where they've been compensating and using different form patterns for a long time to protect it? That could be one. I think muscles that are overly tight also, which could be related to a certain sport or to, you know, certain training design. When muscles are really tight, the fascia constricts. Fascia are like bags that surround muscles, but they are extremely strong. They're very, very strong. I don't remember like how it was described in a research paper, but they have incredible strength of muscle fascia. Okay. So if they're too tight, muscles can't grow.
Okay.
So in other words, if you have very tight structures, and especially they've been tight for a long time, those fascia are so tight, they constrict growth. So the answer is then to take on a flexibility program to loosen all that up, to loosen up the fascia, to create more room to grow. And I think that can be a simultaneous process with also training. I think you can still train very well to address those weak areas while at the same time addressing the tight structures with proper stretching. And where I've seen the most success is if you have a local expert, and there's some different schools of thought with stretching that can assess you and see what's tight and work on those tight structures. There are a lot of times when you can't loosen it up on your own. There needs to be some different techniques with the nervous system. There needs to be use of bands, special stretches, you know, things like that. So if you've been tight in an area and you're not been able to grow, that could be a large part of it. You got to find somebody that can loosen you up and then give you a stretching program ongoing that you can maintain that flexibility.
Who would we go to talk to find that out? Like if that was our concern, if I thought that that may have been an issue, you know, what's my next step? Because I know a lot of the guys who may be watching this are thinking like, well, my option is I go to my massage therapist or I go to my family doctor. And I don't think either of them are necessarily going to have the answer you're looking for.
Sometimes a physical therapist can know. There is a woman in Arizona, in Phoenix, that certifies people. And I think her name is Ann Fredericks, and I think it's called Stretch to Win.
Okay.
She worked on me once a long time ago, and she's the best that I know of. And I've had a lot of different types of things done. That's who I would recommend for improved performance as well as loosening structures so that you can grow. So you might find somebody in your area, wherever you are around the country, that has gotten that certification.
So would like fascio stretch therapy, that would be kind of, okay, so that's what you're looking for. Man, we have a woman here, Becky Wilson in Detroit. She's brutal, man, just flat out. It is brutal. But what you're telling me though is that if that was the situation, this might be an option to try to say bring up that legging, you know, hamstring or whatever. Yeah, it is.
I've had stretching sessions done where my hamstrings have been the following days more sore than a very difficult workout.
Okay.
So that tells you something. So you have to take care of recovery. And what I advise a lot of clients to do is I'll have them use the 100% MR before and after one of those intense stretching sessions, just like I would a workout, to accelerate recovery of the muscles as well as the nervous system to keep them on track. And it massively prevents or reduces the amount of muscle soreness. And that is a scientifically engineered blend of branched chain amino acids, glutamine, taurine, B-complex vitamins, and niacin that Dr. Serrano developed. And the specific ratios of branched chain that he uses is much different than everybody else. We don't list it on the label because we don't want everybody stealing the formula, but our approach is much different, and it's tremendous for reducing soreness. So what I tell people, you better use this before one of those stretching sessions. If they don't listen, they're going to learn the hard way because they'll be sore for days.
I'll have to check that out. If Dr. Serrano says it's good, then I'm sure that there's something behind it. No question.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to take us too far off track here. You know, I know that before we talked, you sent me some of the information and stuff that you know that we were going to talk about. I'm not sure where you wanted to go next, but I'm open to hear anything you have to say because everything we're talking about here is interesting to me, and I'm sure everybody else feels the same way.
I think as far as the training stuff, I've got those articles I sent you, and people can see those videos, and then perhaps we can do another session in the future where they submit some questions about it, and we could, you know, revisit the training stuff with the Cluster 6, because people really love those videos. But on the nutrition front for muscle growth, one of the things that we discussed was a two-part post-workout meal. Okay. And I got a really good response to that at that talk that I did at the Arnold Classic. So if you're going to train hard, you've got to put the right resources into nutrition. I think post-workout is the most important meal of the day, right? Mm. You know, 20 years ago, they'd always say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And my response would be, well, if it happens to follow training, then great. Otherwise, it's really not that important, right? Especially by way now that we know that fasting is so beneficial for body fat loss and even for muscle growth too.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need breakfast. I believe in concentrating a large percentage of your overall food intake during the meals following training. So, you know, in the example that I gave at the Arnold, we wanted to accomplish certain things. So one of the things I want to recalibrate is post-workout nutrition years ago went the route of, for bodybuilders, how much, you know, high glycemic carbohydrate can I get down my throat to raise insulin levels, because that's the key to growth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that I think they overlooked is that the way the body works, it may initially have raised insulin, but over time, to reach that same peak of insulin, you needed more and more of that, you know, carbohydrate in terms of sugar. So you hit a wall. Yeah. And when your insulin sensitivity becomes poor, that's bad for a lot of reasons. So I think people stopped seeing as much benefit from that, really had to scratch their heads and look around. I've never been that high carb advocate for post-workout nutrition. That's not my belief in what I've seen work well, especially for natural trainees. So then we look at what do we do with proteins and what do we do with dietary fat. So in one of these slides that I sent you, you know, I'll read off the things. These were good notes that I had there. Is that dietary fats can manipulate the length of the anabolic window. And this is something that Dr. Serrano turned me on to, is we're not just looking for how high can insulin levels go, but how long can they remain elevated, and that has a governing impact on our ability to grow. And carbohydrates can dictate how high the insulin levels rise. So if the carbs dictate how high the insulin levels rise, and the dietary fats dictate how long those levels can be elevated, then there is an important relationship between those two. So to take from that, good fats are really important during the post-workout meal. Hmm. And you don't need as much carbohydrate as what many people would think to maximize growth. So
just going to throw in and say that, and that would not be what a lot of people would suggest, because the thought had been get those fast carbs in and don't have any fats, because fats are going to slow it down. And what we want is to get that carb in as fast as possible. So I would just like to point out that already we've got a little bit of deviation here, but you have something to back it up. This is interesting.
Yeah. Dietary fats are important.
Okay.
You know, very important. They're very anabolic. And what I would say to people is you really have to try a lot of things for a sustained period of time to see how well they work for you. Right.
There could
be a lot of people that have had success with the very high carb approach. I think they're a smaller portion of the population that may do well with that. And there's other parts of the population that need different tactics. And, you know, again, a lot of this is genetically based. So first of all, pre and post workout, I recommend the 100% MR and the muscle synthesis powder. The muscle synthesis powder being a free form amino acid combination that Dr. Serrano developed. And the reason those two are so important pre and post is, while they have no caloric burden, they provide a ton of raw material the body needs to recover and to grow, and they bypass all the digestive hangups. Mm. Something that I say very often is protein shakes are too little, too late. By the time they break down, by the time they deliver the raw materials, it's gone through a lot of steps. It doesn't get to where the muscles need to go, in my opinion.
Okay.
So when you're using scientifically engineered amino acids in the right proportions and the right amounts, again, they provide what muscles need within seconds. They bypass all the digestive hangups. So taking care of that is a lot of your fast acting materials that are needed to reduce catabolism, to refuel, to provide raw materials when the muscles are being worked and need to repair ASAP. So that's one thing we do. But then moving on to the first post-workout meal, which let's say is about 30 to 45 minutes after training, depending on how long it takes you to get home or to a restaurant, whatever. We're using lean proteins because they do tend to absorb more quickly. So we're talking cage-free eggs, we're talking chicken, wild-caught fish, wild-caught seafood are good examples. We're using a high amount of monounsaturated dietary fats, olive oil, avocado oil. We also use a toxin-filtrated fish oil, the Alpha Omega M3 that Dr. Serrano designed. And we're also going to use some things for glycogen replenishment, which could be white potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice, you know, things of that nature. And I have a picture in those slides I sent you. Also, we like grass-fed butter, you know, too. That'd be a more of a saturated source, but I think it does work well to provide anabolic dietary fats in that first post-workout meal. Then, if we wait about, let's say, 2 to 3 hours and do the second post-workout meal,
Okay.
That's where we go higher on the fats.
Okay.
You want to have organic dietary fats because they have the ratios of essential fats that nature intended. And they're also free of hormones like estrogen and other crap that commercial ranchers sometimes put into commercially raised, you know, cows and so forth. So we want to avoid that, right? We don't need extra estrogen. So the higher saturated fat intake from organic sources, you know, could be grass-fed steak, grass-fed ground beef, you know, organically raised bison, lamb, things of that nature, things with a higher dietary fat intake. We'll still have some carbohydrate, but less than the first meal. You know, if I had 100 grams of carbohydrate in the first post-workout meal, maybe I'll have 50 in the second.
Okay.
You know, that's an example, an easy way for people to look at it.
Yeah.
And the amount of carbs, again, depends on the activity level, the goals, the genetics, the person's body size. What do we need? Are we trying to replenish glycogen or just, you know, push some, you know, some natural, you know, anabolism? And we'll include dietary fiber as well, you know, in those meals. We'll also, you mentioned the EZ14 digestive enzyme catalyst, really important with big meals. You know, to me, like, I don't eat unless it's a big meal. I don't mess around with snacks or other things. If I'm going to take the time to eat, I'm eating a lot.
Okay.
And I'm sure, well, I'm sure there's professional eaters that eat a lot more than me. Like, those people would crush me.
Yeah.
Like a normal person, I'll eat a lot more than a normal person.
Right? Okay. Okay.
I'm good at that. So anyway, it does work well for a lot of people to gain muscle, depending on their frequency. But the EZ14 helps people assimilate more of the nutrients and not have the side effects that they would often have with big meals, like fatigue or stomach upset, things of that nature. And it helps to allow the body to dedicate more of its resources to absorbing, you know, nutrients to grow.
Yeah,
that's one of the benefits you get. And the alpha, omega, M3, what we found is the specific ratios of dietary fats help to drive more raw materials into hungry muscles instead of spilling over into fat cells. And I believe that the ingredients of the alpha omega M3 that Dr. Serrano assembled does a very good job of optimizing insulin sensitivity as well to support muscle growth. A lot of people think, well, fish oil is only good for body fat loss. Well, it's good for improving body composition all around. You know, so that's a window into that two post-workout meal strategy. And I'll tell people, if you're going to focus your efforts on nutrition, you've got to get that right, especially if you want to grow. Different strategies are very important for body fat loss, but the slides, and again, I'll get you the video of that whole talk posted for, you know, I'll send that to you so people can look at that too. But
okay,
we cool. got a really good response to that. Does that give you a pretty good look into what I was talking about on the post-workout meals?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think so for sure. It's something I think, it like I said, it's definitely contrary to what I think a lot of people have done. I would be interested, though, if anybody does try adding more fats to their post-workout to see what your results are.
I mean, one point to make. The objective, you know, insulin is the body's most anabolic hormone, and it's perfectly natural, right? We're not talking about exogenous insulin. You know, the body makes insulin. And, you know, the goal is to not only peak the levels, but to sustain them for a longer period of time. Yeah. That's the question. Well, why are we doing this, Scott? Well, we want to peak the insulin levels and sustain them for a longer period of time. Gives us a larger growth window.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So when I've done that with clients, I have seen faster rates of muscle growth. That has worked really well. And I've also seen the ability to grow while accumulating less or no body fat, which is also a thing people want to do. They want to gain muscle quickly, but they don't want to pile on body fat. I think managing the sources, the timing, and amounts of carbohydrate is very important to prevent the body fat accumulation. Because otherwise, it very easily spills over into new body fat, right?
Sure.
So that's why the fats filling a larger portion of the overall food intake as opposed to carbohydrate, very good for gaining muscle without adding additional body fat.
So let's say, you know, you take the guy who was eating 100 carbs post-workout. How would you suggest he began to apply this strategy tomorrow, you know, after he gets out of the gym? Where would he go with adding fats and adjusting things down?
I would, first of all, change the carbohydrates. May not necessarily need to eliminate them, but change to more real food sources.
Okay.
Right? I don't like the fake sugars or things of that nature.
Okay.
Raw honey is actually something in a small amount that can work well, you know, during and post-workout for some anabolic properties and some performance properties too. That's one Dr. Serrano uses often with people. And, it, you know, it's relatively cheap, you know, raw honey without any additives. But I would tell them to stock up on avocados, on extra virgin olive oil in a dark bottle or can that they can easily find in any grocery store. Cage-free eggs with the yolks, whole eggs are very good sources of dietary fat. Grass-fed butter is very easy to find. And again, the leaner protein sources, chicken's fine, assuming you're not allergic to it, meaning you have a built-in allergy. So I have a lot of clients where they're eating chicken so much the feathers are coming out of their ears.
Yeah.
And I'm taking them off chicken for a while. So they say, all right, what do you want me to use? So alternatives to that very easily usually are like wild-caught fish, wild-caught seafood, which people really enjoy. I mean, it's just a matter of cooking them right. I mean, it's not that hard, but like cooking a big thing of shrimp in butter with some seasoning in a pan, I like that.
That'd be delicious.
I mean, and it's something completely different. So you go to a store and you get, you know, the wild caught shrimp like Trader Joe's. I don't know how much it costs. You know, that's one thing. Like, I don't want to hear people complain about, well, this food costs this or this. I don't give a shit.
Okay. Right?
Like, to put it frankly, if you're going to invest all this into your body, then don't buy alcohol. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't buy chewing tobacco. Don't subscribe to 1,800 cable channels. You know, I mean, if it's important to you, food has a lot to do with your quality of life, and you can find good quality food choices at reasonable costs, right?
Sure.
Don't say, like, oh, well, I can't do this or that. Yeah, you can. You can find most things reasonably cost. Good example, grass-fed ground beef has come down in price tremendously.
Oh, it has, hasn't it? Yeah. And I've noticed that.
That's a very good source of food for people that want to gain muscle. So you can make that into burgers or whatever. And I don't know what it costs a pound off the top of my head, but you know, a younger guy was telling me the other day that he was amazed by how inexpensive it was compared to other things. So you just kind of have to know where to look. You know, that's what I do for a lot of clients. I help, well, you know, look for this, look for that. Let's try and find a different way. Or, you know, if I know regionally where a certain store is, I'm going to recommend them. But Trader Joe's, has a lot of good food sources that are pretty budget friendly.
I guess what I was asking though was like, how much fat should someone use?
Okay. So depending on their size, let me think here. If you were using that strategy, a two-part strategy, and the person was trying to gain muscle, and let's say the person is 180 pounds, is that a good weight to use?
Sure.
Then I'm going to say the first post-workout meal, maybe it has upwards of 50 grams of dietary fat, and maybe the second post-workout meal has 75.
Okay, so that's – okay. See, now I wasn't sure what you're talking about. If you were going to ask me to guess, I would have guessed a lot lower. I would have thought you were talking about 15 grams in the first meal and then maybe 30 in the second.
Right. And then protein-wise, so let's talk about that. Protein-wise, the first post-workout meal, let's say 50 grams. And in the second, let's say probably about, well, no, let's say first post-workout meal, 60 grams protein. And the second post-workout meal, 30. Why? Okay. If I'm going higher dietary fat, such as grass-fed ground beef, in that second meal, it's higher in dietary fat, lower in protein. Still a good source of protein. But that's going to get me the ratios that I want. Those are some things I just thought up in my head. So let's go over that again. So carbohydrate, what did I say? I said the first post-workout meal, 100 grams.
Right.
And the second one, 50.
Correct.
On the protein, I said 60 grams in the first post-workout meal. And the second one, 30. So half. Now a dietary fat, I was different. I said 50 grams of dietary fat from good sources in the first meal and 75 in the second. If I had somebody that was still having some difficulty growing, I would then add more dietary fat to that second meal.
Really? And I could see where an enzyme could become really helpful here. Because I feel like, you know, fats, I mean, sure, it's going to help to stabilize that elevated insulin, but it's also going to make you feel really full, too. So if I'm eating 50 grams of fat in that first meal, I could imagine it might be harder to get that second meal in.
But you know, if it's 3 hours later and you kind of trained your body to that, for some people, they have to take a gradual approach. You know, like I tell people, you wouldn't go into the gym if you've never trained before and do all these sets, right? It's a gradual thing. Well, if you need to retrain your body to eat more good proteins and good dietary fats and fibrous vegetables, it may need to be a gradual approach. in terms of portions. But one of the things I used with, let's say, somebody who's in their late teens, early 20s that needs to grow quickly and is having difficulty, I'll have them add a lot of extra virgin olive oil to meals. Because, look, it's not very dense. And they could very easily, you know, I mean, you could drink it. I don't like drinking it. Dr. Serrano likes drinking it.
Does he?
Yeah, I mean, I could. But anyway, I like adding it to food, like in dressings, things like that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use a dressing, you're better off making your own, because most of them have soybean oil, canola oil. You don't want that.
Yeah.
So when I say extra virgin olive oil, the dark bottles, I mean, just pour it on your food and, you know, add some spices. It's a very good way to get your dietary fat intake up from the monounsaturated sources very quickly. And it's not very filling, at least initially.
Okay. And I could see too, I mean, I feel like fats are going to fill you out too in a way that carbs aren't. From what I understand, we do store carbs in the muscle, but we do store fat in the muscle too. There are triglyceride stores in the muscle, from what Dr. Scott Stevenson was telling us, because we had a whole conversation about fat loading and how some people will benefit from eating more fats, you know, leading into a show. There is going to be not as high of a percentage as you're going to be able to hold in glycogen in the muscle, but there is going to be some percentage of that I could imagine. After I ate this meal plan, I would probably feel a lot fuller the next morning. Fats kind of sustain that too, I feel.
So that brings me to another point. If it's somebody that's trying to gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time, one of the things we know from the literature and practical experience, and Dr. Serrano and I were talking about this weekend, is that a fast in the range of 16 to 18 hours has a lot more benefit than, let's say, 12.
Really?
So if we're going to have a very large meal, let's say if you train late afternoon or even early evening and then do those two post-workout meals, one at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock and one at 10 o'clock, right? Then if I have very big meals there and then I'm no more eating until, let's say, lunch the next day, that would be what, 16 hours? No. So 10 to 10 is 12 hours, 10 to 12 is 14. So let's say I moved it up to like 2 o'clock, 16 hours. Okay. Those larger meals then sustain you for a longer period of time in terms of the fasted state.
No kidding. Okay.
Well, I think about it, you know, I'm eating more, and then if I'm going to fast for a while, I should remain full for longer, especially if you balance things out well, you know, in terms of the meal structure. That's something I play with a lot, too. And fasting can work well for muscle growth, too. I know it would be counterintuitive to a lot of people thinking, well,
sure,
got to eat six times a day. There's some phenomenal things that happen during a fasting period. And as it relates to muscle growth, I think the body becomes more efficient.
I can see that.
It becomes more efficient in terms of how it uses the nutrients. It knows what to do. And it becomes, you know, to a point where it knows how to store the nutrients. Maybe something happens with macronutrient partitioning in terms of how the nutrients are used. Who knows? But I've been pleasantly surprised. I've found I've been able to help people gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time. When there's been, you know, using fasting protocols that may change in length on certain days, and, you know, a big focus on those post-workout meals to sustain people for a longer period of time.
Interesting. One of the things I was reading out of your notes was the idea of gaining muscle through macronutrient timing. Can you explain what you mean by that?
I'm trying to remember what I was thinking. Well, I'll put it this way. Just like training, you have to change up the macronutrient percentages to prevent metabolic staleness, to increase muscle-building enzymes, to increase fat-burning enzymes, to naturally optimize, you know, anabolic hormone levels. So I think my thought process was, when I did that back in March, was changing up the macronutrient percentages is very important for preventing staleness. As we talked about, when a lot of people are in a structured meal plan, they eat the same things over and over, same meal timing, same compositions. Well, just like eating the same foods is problematic, eating the same ratios of protein, dietary fat, and carbohydrate also becomes problematic. So there, that's where it comes into where maybe you would use a higher dietary fat and protein and higher dietary fiber approach in meals leading up to training, and then switch to more carbohydrate during the meal following training would be an example of macronutrient cycling.
Okay.
But dietary fat loading, which you'd mentioned, which is something Dr. Serrano's used for a long time, where you could have one or two days of the week where your dietary fat intake was much higher than the other days of the week to serve as a significant strategic contrast. So one of the reasons he was doing that was to see what would happen with testosterone levels, to try and raise fat burning enzymes and muscle building enzymes, to lubricate the joints, you know, to rest the body from some other food sources. But that's worked really well. And when you get into the protocols to get a competitor ready for a show, it gets complicated. And one of the big mistakes a lot of the competitors make is that they're playing with their last couple of weeks of prep. They're playing with the nutrition for the first time before a show.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's crazy. And then you have to experiment with this stuff, you know, like I do with clients, pretty far in advance to see what works, kind of go through a simulation round. And that way, when you're actually getting into show prep, you know what to do, how the body's going to respond.
Absolutely.
To these different things. And that's a stressful thing for a lot of competitors. They put in all this time and they're like, well, here in the last 2 weeks, I'm going to try some new stuff. Let's hope it works.
Oh, God, it's the worst.
No, you know, that's not a good approach. You got to try with that a lot earlier. But when Dr. Serrano uses fat loading, which also do some carb loading too, he's had a really good outcome with that.
Okay, interesting. I saw that in the notes. I figured I just wanted to make sure we touched on it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we have here, Scott, that you really would like to bring up before we wrap the show today?
There's so many things.
Yeah. And I feel like we've talked about so many cool bits and topics everywhere. So yeah, if there's anything else you can think of that we should throw in here, I'd love to hear it. If not, that's okay too.
I think one of the things I'd like to get across to people is there needs to be a consistent innovation in terms of your nutrition, in terms of your training, to keep progress going. And there are some other benefits that maybe people had not thought, you know, back before they do it, in that when you integrate some new protocols and all the details are laid out, it builds a lot of confidence. And that improves the consistency and the quality of the execution. And I think that's something a lot of people overlook. You know, why are we doing this? Why are we going to the gym? Why are we putting all this effort into it? Are we doing it just because we like doing it? Or are we actually looking for, you know, an aggressive result, an aggressive change in, you know, body composition? So it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but you got to have the right strategies. And at times it takes a little while to find those strategies. So I guess the best way to end it would be is that, you know, if people want to submit some questions to you and to me, and we could come back on and do another show, I'd be glad to address those questions and think about them a little bit in advance so I could give people some solid stuff.
That'd be fun.
And, you know, people can email me directly. They're always surprised that I respond to emails myself. Like, who else would respond, you know? So
your secretary or something.
Yeah, I respond to all of them. And my email is scott@infinityfitness.com. And email me. I'll respond to you. And I can usually direct you to some materials or answer a question that'll be a benefit to you. And who knows, you might share some information with me that I didn't know, you know. So I'm always kind of learning from a lot of these interactions. And I would encourage people to check out the website. We've got so much great free material in terms of training and nutrition from myself and Dr. Serrano, a lot of the videos we do together. So look around, you'll find all kinds of, you know, good stuff there. But yeah, I'd really like the opportunity to come on again, you know, and answer some questions and talk about other topics people are interested in.
Let's do that. And I got to say, I like this because your ideas are, you have your own, you're coming from a slightly different perspective, which is good. I feel like we need to, I even if at the end of the day, say you said something and I don't end up agreeing with it down the road or whatever, I decide, okay, I don't agree with Scott on whatever topic, which that did not come up today. There was nothing where I'm like, I don't agree with that. But that said, stopping and thinking about things and questioning things, looking at other people's ideas and thinking in a slightly different way than you normally do, that challenges me to continue learning. So this is really cool for me in that regard, because we kind of backed it up and you came up with some ideas that, like I said, especially that fat thing, that fat post-workout, which I could see some benefit with that. That's something that you've got some gears turning in my own head. I want to look more at the Cluster 6 program that you're talking about too, because I could see, you know, even if somebody weren't to say use that you know, as it's written perfectly. I feel like by looking at that kind of thing, you can start getting those gears turning, and that you might come up with something on your own that you wouldn't have thought up otherwise. There's a lot of benefit here. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Scott, out of your day. You know, as a busy guy, man, I know what it's like, you know, to have to take an hour out of your day to stop and not be answering. I'm sure you're getting a bunch of emails and everything else. So I really do. I'm honored that you would take time out of your day to talk with us and share your education through, you know, years of experience now in this industry.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, guys, this has been Scott Mendelson from Infinity Fitness. Leave us some questions, you know, on the YouTube video here. If you guys have anything that you'd like to ask Scott, we'll plan something for the future. I will also put out a thread when we release this show over at the Facebook group. And this is really good. Scott Mendelson, I'm Scott McNally for Think Big Bodybuilding Media Advices Radio. We'll see you guys soon.